Hello, and welcome to the Carly Created Content Committee podcast. We're your hosts, Mary Rose, Metadata Librarian at Southern Illinois University, Edwardsville, and Paul Goh, Systems Librarian at Illinois Institute of Technology. This podcast is a product of the Carly Created Content Committee and is one of a series of podcasts intended to highlight or showcase things of interest to those involved in digital projects in libraries, archives, museums, and related fields. Carly is a consortium of academic and research libraries in Illinois. More information about Carly and its committees can be found at www.carly.illinois.edu.
So today we are interviewing Courtney Mumma of Artifactual about Archivematica. Information about Archivematica can be found at www.archivematica.org. And more information about Artifactual systems can be found at www.artifactual.com. So welcome, Courtney.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So Archivematica is a free open source digital preservation system. So to get everyone on the same page, could you please give us a brief overview of what it means to be a digital preservation system? So in other words, what are the purposes of a digital preservation system and what are some typical use scenarios?
Sure. So as most of us who are in libraries, archives, and museums know, as we face having to preserve and provide access to born digital and digitized content. That is very loud vacuuming happening outside. We understand that digitized content is at risk of format obsolescence, loss of integrity over time, and all sorts of other things that can happen if you haven't collected proper metadata and packaged it in a way and checked its integrity over time and created copies of the content in formats that last. And so what Archivematica does is it offers the opportunity to activate several different workflows that were designed based on the functional requirements of preserving digital materials that was offered by the OAIS ISO standard, and then also supplemented by other good practices and research that we've done on our own and with other research projects. So before Archivematica, there was a universe of individual tools to complete different parts of the functional requirements of a digital preservation workflow. Some of them overlapped, some of them did the same thing as other tools, but slightly better, slightly worse. And the interfaces were all different too. Some of them had GUIs so that people could interface with them easily. Some of them were only command line. And so what Archivematica did was endeavor to put them all into one system where the archivist, librarian, curator can go ahead and run them as services in one web-based dashboard interface. So ultimately in Archivematica, what the user does is processes their digital content to the stage of what's called the AIP, the Archival Information Package. That's a term from OAIS. And once it's in that stage, it can be sent to storage. So it's important to point out here that Archivematica digital preservation system is not a storage system. In fact, we consider ourselves to be storage agnostic. So that means that you can send the content to any storage. There's lots of great storage out there that does integrity checking over time and that is secure, things like DuraCloud, Lox, and Archivum in the UK. And then, of course, just networked attached storage in your own institution if you choose to do that. The AIP itself is a bagged package. When I say bagged, I'm referring to the Bagged specification from the Library of Congress. And that package has digital objects, the original digital objects, but it also has preservation format derivatives stored along with them. In addition to those things, there are logs of the processing activities like virus checking and archival selection and arrangement that you did in Archivematica processing. And then there's always a METS.xml file that is a metadata packaging and transmission standard that allows you to include descriptive metadata, structural metadata, technical metadata, and preservation metadata. The preservation metadata in particular is in the form of premise events, agents, objects, and then rights and restrictions. And Archivematica has one of the best, I'd say, of course, but I'm biased, implementations of premise out there. Our premise events include things like format identification, integrity checking, metadata extraction and characterization, format validation, to name just a handful of them. We actually have almost 20 preservation events in Archivematica that are all logged in premise and then recorded in that METS that goes with your archival package. Insofar as typical use cases, it's really a big range. We have workflows for digital forensic images. We have workflows for research data. People use Archivematica a lot, especially in libraries, for their digitized content. So they're preserving all the effort that they put in and the resources that they put into digitizing their analog materials. Born digital materials, so many archives and special collections use Archivematica for a variety of different formats that were born digital. You can also include things like submission documentation, and that means if you have donor agreements or accession documents that you want to include, you can include those in Archivematica so that they're stored alongside your materials. You can also include metadata, either through templates in Archivematica, descriptive metadata that is, or you can add item level metadata from other systems as well. So there are a lot of different workflows that people are using Archivematica for, and we expect that to keep growing. We've been working on email for a couple of years now and trying to make that workflow a lot better over time. And I just imagine as we mature in the digital preservation community, there are going to be more and more use cases popping up that we'll have to face head on.
Great. So what are Archivematica's unique features as a digital preservation system? Why would somebody choose it over other offerings?
We're very proud of being open source, and we're especially proud of being led by archivists. So the president of our company and the founder of our company are both archivists. The three systems analysts who work with us on both of our systems, Archivematica and ATOM, which is Access to Memory, our access system. We are actually archivists and librarians, so all of us have both our MAS and MLIS. And we think that's really important because we are directly involved with the communities that we serve. And we have an understanding of the needs and values of archivists, librarians. In fact, one of our developers for Archivematica is also an archivist. So she's an archivist developer, which I think is awesome. And I'm including myself in that. I'm an archivist and a librarian as well. Other than that, we're very proud of the fact that we're transparent. All of our documentation is barrier-free, so it's all free and open on the web. Everything, every user manual, every administration manual, our installation instructions. Anything we write up, including our requirements, is open and free to use by anyone. And our user groups are open as well. So we have a Google group for Archivematica that's open, and you can join and ask any question. And usually you'll get an answer from someone in Archivematica, but sometimes we really like it when users answer each other because that really speaks to the growth of the community. We're based in standards. So we don't do anything outside of standards. We don't do specialized configuration of the system. We do everything standards based, and that's because interoperability is very important to us. We also believe that if our systems ever go away, if we're based on standards, then you won't need our system to recover your content. You can understand it independently of the system. We believe in something called what we consider smart automation. So the idea is automate everything you can, because the whole point is to mix all these tools together to make it easier for people to do their jobs. But at the same time, we feel strongly, because we're archivists and librarians, that there are points at which the archivist and the librarian needs to be there and step in and make a decision about a workflow. So we won't automate something where it seems that the human needs to interact with the system. So we don't want to automate too much. We're flexible, so the system itself has a lot of different workflows, and you can configure those workflows yourself as an administrator, and you can also make decisions at lots of different stages in the process. And then again, that's the importance of that human working with the workflow and with the machine. We're really focused on doing integrations too. So we, from the beginning, ATOM, Access to Memory, was the first system that we created, and then Archivematica followed it a few years later. And both of those systems, our idea is not to replace too many other systems, because we understand that people have put resources into the systems they're already using. So the idea instead is to integrate with as many as possible. And we've done quite a lot so far, and we have plans to do a lot more in the coming year. Other than that, the system itself offers for some things that other digital preservation systems don't. For instance, archival arrangement and description. So that's something that we're incrementally building in Archivematica, but we've just added arrangement and selection in the workflow in our last release. And we have a digital forensics workflow, which we think is really exciting, and that's going to continue to get better as we work with the BitCurator project. Another thing that's interesting, and I've mentioned this a couple of times, is that because Artifactual develops both Archivematica and Atom, everything from Archivematica that is an access derivative, which you can create in its workflow, can be handed off easily to Atom, the access system, because we do parallel development. So every time there's a release of Archivematica, it will integrate with the most current release of Access to Memory. And we find that important, because why do digital preservation if you're not going to provide access? One without the other doesn't make a lot of sense.
Great. Well, you touched on this already a little bit, but could you tell us a little bit more about the relationship between Archivemeta and Artifactual? I mean, you were saying that Artifactual develops Archivematica and Atom, and I think the website for Archivematica says that the project is managed by Artifactual Systems. So could you explain that just a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. Artifactual Systems is a Canadian company. They're based in Vancouver, British Columbia. I'm the U.S. office. I'm based in Texas, but I was in Vancouver for a long time. So what Artifactual is the lead developer of Archivematica and Atom. And we operate using something called the open source bounty model. So that means that one institution or a group of institutions or maybe a consortium pays for one feature or enhancement or several features and enhancements. And then we do the development, they test the feature or enhancement, and then that feature or enhancement gets added to the public release and becomes free to everyone so that everyone can benefit. And so that's the way we've been doing development for the last several years. This means that everybody in the public release can enjoy the new features and enhancements. The people who paid for it get credit for it. We allowed them on our website and our public announcements, and we try to help them do their presentations at conferences and that sort of thing. And so that means everybody, they don't have to choose to pay our company for things like installation, maintenance, and support. They can also download it and run it themselves. So we're a little different, I think, than some of the projects, especially in the States, because in Canada there aren't any grants available to us to do the kind of work that we do, which is why we chose this bounty model.
That's really interesting. Do you think that helps Archivematica's sustainability in the long term for people who might be choosing to use it?
I think absolutely. I think it's so core to what we do. The community is already very large, and it's growing, especially since we had our first production release back in January. So that means the first non-beta release of the system. And it's been exponential growth since then. The company itself, you know, it's core to our business. So we'll continue to support and develop systems as long as there's communities around them. And so that's really positive for us to see the communities growing. And the communities grow because they have free access to the new features and enhancements that are paid for by a generous sponsor. We also work really hard, as I mentioned before, to stay active in that community, and even contributing back to those tools that we wrap into our system. So our system uses a bunch of open source tools to carry out its functions, and we try to contribute back to those tools to make those better. And we also work with research projects. We work with standards development. Our president is on the premise editorial committee. So we try to build the community around us, but we also try to build the other communities. And that speaks to the integration that we do too. We integrate with a lot of other open source systems, and then that allows the Archivematica community to merge with their communities and then just grow stronger together. So Absolutely. That's the open source model and the bounty model that we've been using so far is what makes us extremely strong, and I think strong for the long term.
That's fantastic. So what are some of the near-term and long-term development goals for Archivematica?
Well, the biggest thing right now is that we're offering hosting with DuraCloud. So we've just partnered with DuraCloud, and we're doing a pilot with 9 partners right now. So one of them is a state and then several universities. And that pilot will conclude in January, and then we're looking to early spring to offer that publicly. So that means Archivematica hosted in a DuraCloud instance, and then also DuraCloud storage of your archival information packages. So that's the really big thing that we're working on right now. And it's going really well. I'm working with 5 of the partners personally myself, and it's been great. A lot of enthusiasm out there, which is exciting, because DuraCloud is an open source system as well. We're working on versioning of our archival information packages, and then we're also working on derivation of access copies after those packages have already been stored previously. And that's sponsored by an institute in Berlin called the ZUSA Institute. And the other big thing right now is working on managing your levels of hierarchical description shared between Archivematica and ADAM, and the National Library in Wales is sponsoring that work. And that's really exciting because that means that's in addition to that arrangement workflow that I was talking about, so that you can actually do some arrangement in Archivematica, but then you can even now, with the coming version, assign levels of description, and then ADAM will understand those levels and put it in the proper place in your descriptive system. We also have something on our online development roadmap. So on that archivematica.org site that you mentioned earlier, we have a development roadmap that has a wish list that outlines the things that are coming, but also highlights things that either we want to see really badly, or the community has asked for explicitly, or the community at large seems to be wanting. And so what we try to do is publish those wish list items in any ways we can, center our conference presentations around them, kind of highlighting those priorities so that people know where funding is needed. And then if something, you know, causes a twinkle in their eye, then maybe that's something their institution will want to fund. It's also really important to us. Again, we don't do a lot of specialization. We're trying to make sure that this system is usable to everybody. So we run by our requirements with our community. Anytime we have a new feature that we're working on, if we're stuck in a place or we think, should we do this or will it cause a problem for certain people, then we'll reach out and we'll ask questions about, you know, what we should do differently. And that's been working really well, especially since the first production release.
So that's great. So how do you determine what tools to include in Archivematica? For instance, does the license type of the tool have an impact?
Yeah, so in Archivematica, we're dedicated to using only free and open source tools. Archivematica itself has an AGPL version 3 license. And so basically it just means that you can contribute to Archivematica, you can download it, you can use it, but if you contribute to it or do development, you have to contribute it back to what's offered to the entire community. That's the core of that license. And so in order to do that, we also have to use free and open source tools in all of our workflows. And so we do a lot of testing of the tools, and that's another thing about our transparency and documentation, is that all the testing we've done on our tools is available to review on our website, so on our wiki. So for instance, when we were testing migration to digital preservation formats, we recorded all of the tests that we ran, all the tools that we used, and we recorded why we chose the tool that we did. And that's already been, you know, I know that was done around 3 years ago, and it's been very useful, just that research. Even if people aren't using Archivematica, they're finding the research and the testing of the tools information really useful. So that's how we choose the tools, and we keep adding them over time. When we add new microservices, we've got to search for new tools. We just added a transcription tool, for instance, and so we had to do a lot of searching to find an open source OCR tool that worked best. We ended up deciding on Tesseract, But what's interesting is in Archivematica, if you've ever seen it, our microservices are all functionally named. So just because we choose a tool now, we're trying to leave it open so that if there's a better tool in the future, we can replace it, because the idea is replacing that function. The tool is not something that we're committed to forever.
That's very interesting. So you can change tools almost on the fly.
Exactly. Right? And in fact, for some of our microservices, you can even change the tool in the dashboard. So if you're the user and you have another tool that you would like to use, you can actually change that yourself.
Well, that's very interesting. So many libraries don't have direct access to their backend environments, either offsite hosting or campus IT. How does Archivematica work in those environments where the librarians might lack control or even expertise?
When people hire us to do installation and maintenance, we do the installation on their servers in a virtual machine so that we can support it remotely. And then we also offer training. And then we also supplement that training with more training at a cost if people need a little bit more. So like you were saying, there might be some librarians or archivists who don't have the digital preservation expertise that they would like to have. And so if they need a little bit more help, then we'll work with them on that. Our maintenance agreements and our installation agreements also come with a pilot project. So we always run at least one pilot with any new partner. And again, because all the documentation is free because we're open source, you can also take that training into your own hands. So even if we install for you, instead of paying for extra training, you might choose to just really set aside time and dig deep into that documentation. We also do screencasts that walk through at least the most basic of our workflows. And anytime we add new features, we try to do screencasts for each of those features. And we also, you know, like I said, we're doing the hosting now too. So we're working with our hosting partners in this pilot project to determine what their workflows are and how they can do some configuration so that their librarians and archivists don't really need to make more than a few decisions during processing. So if you wanted to in Archivematica, I think there are somewhere like maybe 15 places where you can make a decision in the course of the workflow. But if we work with you to determine what those decisions are ahead of time, then you can configure it in a way that you don't have to make those decisions. So basically, you can just press go, walk away, and when you come back, you have your preserved materials sent to storage.
Well, that sounds very, very useful. Excellent.
Yeah, I think so. People are liking it so far, and it's so interesting, especially in the pilot, how many different use cases we have. And I'm really excited. Over the coming year, we'll be talking a lot about these individual use cases and the pilot partners' experiences. So look forward to that at conferences if you're going to any, because we'll be talking about it quite a lot.
Well, Courtney, this has just been fantastic. I've learned so much, and the product really sounds really, really fantastic and interesting. So thank you so much for your time. This is great information. We appreciate you sharing it with us.
Thank you both so much for having me, Mary and Paula. I really appreciate it.
Well, this has been another Carly Created Content Committee podcast. Please find out more about Carly at www.carly.illinois.edu. That's Carly, C-A-R-L-I. You can find many of Carly's digital collections at collections.carly.illinois.edu. Thank you for listening. This is Mary Rose.